Hello, hello, happy Pride to you. I'm Dahlia. This is News and Views. We are about to get into this conversation from organized bullying, which is called hazing, to classic bullying, tools to cope with it as we go back to school. And it's interesting because St. Michael's College in Toronto, you remember last year, there were 7 students who were charged in connection with alleged incidents that took place on campus. And so St. Mike's had to create this entire report on what the bullying is like in its school, on its campus. And you know what it found? The report has found that bullying at St. Mike's is in line with schools in the rest of the country as well. So we're going to get into that in just a moment. But I've asked you this question. It's up on 580 CFRA's Facebook page. You could also join the conversation on Twitter. Tweet me at Dahlia Kurtz. With your thoughts on Weight Watchers' new app for teens, it says that it encourages a healthy relationship with food. Critics are arguing that it's going to do the opposite, creating this unhealthy preoccupation with it. So I asked you the question, when is too young to diet? Which is almost like a loaded question in and of itself, because I don't think that anybody should diet. I don't think that you should diet. I think that you should create a lifestyle and just something healthy that works for you instead of getting yourself to the point where you're just preoccupied with numbers and you're preoccupied with food and you're not enjoying your life, because then you're not even going to be able to sustain it. But it's a much bigger problem, especially with young people today, where we have... I was just at the store the other day and I see this little boy waving a package of gum to his mom. And he says, "Mommy, mommy, can I have this? It has 0 grams of fat." This isn't how we should be approaching food and approaching our thoughts. And when we already have these pressures that are tying body image with the way we eat, and then we have an app put out by a company whose name inherently says you need to watch your weight. Is that dangerous for young people today? And Peter says that good eating should start with people when they are young. The word diet is simply a word used to lose weight when it should be about what you eat. Eat well, exercise, and laugh. This is not a guarantee, but what is in this life to do? I think that the other thing that you have to remember is the word diet, while you could say that it's simply a word to lose weight, this is a word that is really loaded in and of itself, and it does not give the right idea of what we need to do. That's a word about restriction. That's a word about loss. That's not a word about enriching your life. That's not a word about making your life better. And maybe what we need to do is teach our young people how to make their lives better, how to improve their lives. And the other part of it is, it's very expensive to lead an enriched life and to eat healthy food all of the time. So how do we deal with all of these issues? It's not just about an app. But again, I want to know what you have to say about it, especially when we're talking about a name that inherently is saying, Weight Watchers, you need to lose weight. So much so that they stopped going by the name Weight Watchers and now they go by WW. WW? That's a mouthful in and of itself. People don't even say www. Dot anymore. They just give the website's name, CFRA.com. See? Just like that. I'm Dahlia. This is 580 CFRA News and Views. And I wanted to get into this conversation, especially after this report released by an independent committee that found that there's no significant change in rates of student bullying and victimization at St. Michael's College in Toronto after last year's major incident where we had 7 students charged in the connection with serious alleged incidents that took place on campus. But the report also found something else that was very telling. This independent committee found that the bullying that we see at St. Mike's College is bullying that we see right across the board in schools in Canada. So it's not exclusive to this institution in and of itself. So going back to school right now, from hazing, which is like organized bullying, to classic bullying, will bullying go away? We've been having this conversation for years. I don't think so. But how we cope with it and how we fight it as we prepare to go back to school, this can really help deal with it. So joining us now, we have education consultant and diagnostician at Horizon Educational Consulting, Monica Ferenzi. Thanks for taking your time to join us today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Is bullying ever going to go away?
Well, we'd like to hope that it would go away. And one of the things that we always tell our children and our teens is to report bullying to an adult, a trusted adult at school. And that can be any school, and no matter how small or how large. We do know that if a student can connect with a significant adult who they trust at school, then they are likely to find that support and the courage to come forward if they are bullied. And this applies to elementary age students as well as high school age students as well.
We like to, right now, for instance, you know, the country was looking at St. Mike's as just the worst example of bullying. But then this independent committee comes out and says, you know what, St. Mike's is bad, but so are the rest of the schools across the country. What are the things that we need to worry about?
We need to worry about schools being transparent in their reporting. So many schools associate bullying with negative image. And we know that good communication goes a long way to not only reinforce positive image, but also trust. So parents are looking for trust in school officials and someone that their child can feel comfortable going to and also being informed of any incidents or occurrences that happen at school.
What are the things that you might hear about in your role as somebody who's an education consultant that we might not hear about on a regular basis?
Well, many of the clients that come to me are themselves intimidated by school officials. So parents also feel intimidated. And particularly parents feel intimidated if they are trying to advocate or speak up on behalf of their child or trying to validate concerns that maybe are not observed by school staff.
Because I would imagine at some point, too, there's this horrible moniker of helicopter parenting. So when you're advocating for your child, at what point are you being a helicopter parent?
Yes. Well, safety is what we use as the litmus test on bullying. So if your child is not feeling safe, doesn't want to come to school, that's definitely a red flag. And any parent who is vigilant and has an ear to listening to their child or their teen express those concerns, I would say is very well positioned to take that issue up at the school with the principal or whoever the other key personnel are in terms of social workers or other professionals that can be asked to help the child and sort out any sort of issue that they may be facing with other students.
This is News and Views. I'm Dahlia, and we're having a conversation right now with Monica Ferenzi about bullying in school. She's an education consultant. You know, my nephew, Naeem, he's very small for his age, very, very small. And he also, I guess you can say where his birthday falls, he ends up being one of the youngest in the class. So he was having a lot of problems in school that he wasn't telling my brother, his father, about. Because it was so bad that he was getting sick, he felt horrible, he was coming home, he couldn't just cope with normal things in his home life. And finally, one day, he told me that he was getting bullied really badly at school, but he didn't see it as bullying. He didn't use the words bullying. What he explained to me was bullying. It was girls who were doing it to him. And so he didn't see any reason to talk to his parents. And then when he told my brother about it, when I finally convinced him to do that, my brother didn't understand why you needed to even address it if it's girls who are also twice his size bullying him. Do you hear of these sorts of cases?
So bullying is gender specific. Girls have a certain way to bully other girls, and girls and boys have a certain way to bully other boys.
But bullying boys.
But we also see some of this cross-gender bullying more and more now. Mm-hmm. And some of that has to do with the access to social media and all of that, which renders gender invisible. And so we do need to address it regardless of what gender it comes from and regardless of what gender the victim is. And that's a very, very important aspect, but it's also a newer trend, I would say. So we need to be conscious of that as adults and caring adults. And as you mentioned, sometimes a child or an adolescent might reach out to a family member, not directly in the family unit. And sometimes they might reach out to...
like the coolest aunt.
Or the coolest teacher on staff. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important that adult take action and take the child seriously.
How do you deal with bullying without turning into a bully?
So the way that we deal with bullying, what I encourage parents to do is to speak about it openly and transparently, provide examples, dates and times, people involved, so that it is not very vague but very specific. If it helps to journal over a period of a week or 2 weeks to have some examples to present to school officials, which are very fact-based. A lot of emotion tends to play into these situations, and wanting to protect our child is very inherent as a parent. But we need to have facts to present and facts to act on to engage others to solve the problem.
You're getting ready to go back to school right now, and your child has stomach aches. Your child is getting nervous. You're seeing certain signs that your child could be afraid of other kids in class, or there could be bullying going on. What do you do right now proactively to set your child up for success?
So we call that a transition plan. And as soon as the schools are open before the first day of school, it's very important to go and get the lay of the landscape. Many changes happen over the summertime. Staff changes that may not have been known at the end of the school come into play. There may be new staff. So regardless of the age of the student, to relay, to diminish some of that anxiety, a walkthrough of the school, just to know where their personal space is in the school, in the classroom, who the new faces are, where they need to go if the locations have changed, if construction or other administrative or facility changes have occurred, often helps. And talking about it with the child to know exactly what is, or try to detect what is the source of the anxiety. Is it a place? Is it a feeling? Is it a person? That can really help.
If people need to get in touch with you at Horizon Educational Consulting, what do they need to know, Monica?
They just need to look me up. I'm available through messaging on Facebook, on Twitter. Send me an email to our website, www.horizoned.ca, and I'd be happy to assist anyone.
Monica Ferenczi, thank you so much for taking your time to join us on News and Views.
Thank you very much, Dahlia.